You know that moment when you realize that you've done all this personal growth work, but it still feels like something's missing? I know that was true for me when I began that journey and I kept getting the call to coach, to actually leap from the work that I was doing, a reliable, smart, quote unquote, career. And it really was this feeling like I was ready to serve others, to help them grow, to share my knowledge, to be responsible about how I help them too. And so you might be in that place where you're not sure how to actually build that into a business that feels aligned. Well, my friend Alyssa Nobrega created something I wish I'd had when I started, and it's called the Institute for Coaching Mastery. It's a year-long transformational certification for coaches and aspiring coaches who want to actually master the art of transformation, not just learn scripts, but actually embody the work and teach others to do the same. You'll get world-class training, a supportive community, and the systems to build a sustainable business that comes from your heart, not from endless hustle. So if you've been feeling that pull, like you're meant for more, this is your invitation. I'm also guest faculty on it, and I teach part of it too. The program only opens once a year, and spots are limited. Head to createthelove.com/apply and apply through the Mark Groves link. Trust yourself. If you're hearing this, maybe it's time to answer the call. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Mark Groves Podcast. Today, I wanted to share an insight that I had in terms of my own path in life and where I'm at. And I got some really good advice from a friend of mine that made me really start to think about how what she said to me was true for all of us. And it was exactly what I needed to hear. So as I find myself in a transition of going from teaching about what I know, you know, relationships, what I don't even want to say what I know, what I know I'm good at, you know, not from a place of arrogance, but, you know, I've found success in it. I have an identity that externally can be validated. You know, Mark is a perceived expert in this space. And I have a brand that's been built upon that. So there's a lot of certainty in who I've been. And what I mean by that is that I can put a label on it. I'm a human connection specialist. I'm a master of how humans relate. And again, like, I'm not saying that arrogantly, just from a brand perception perspective, that's already established. And so when I consider wanting to bridge even outside of the narrow window of romantic relationships, ultimately, the expertise is really in how you relate to anything, which is what I talk about a lot, right? So it's not even actually your perception of me. It's my perception of your perception of me that keeps me in prison. And so I want you to think about in your own life, where is the safety of a title that you have, the safety of a degree that you have, the safety of a job that you have, actually keeping you a prisoner of who you think people think you are, and who you have known yourself to be in the world. I was reflecting recently on how I found myself at a similar place in my life when I was a pharmaceutical rep, and I was working 14 years in that industry, and I had a good salary and a bonus and a car and 13 years with the same company. And so I could have just kept on that track, and I could have done relatively well. Now, of course, the earning potential of a position in a company is always what is the sort of market rate of that, as where if you become an entrepreneur, the earning potential is really the market cap of that area. And so I could have had a very predictable life. When I introduce myself to people and I said, I'm a pharmaceutical rep, there is a perception of who that person is and what they're like, good or bad. But, you know, the assumptions would be like, oh, you're charismatic, you're charming, etc. And so there's a double edge to that, because it could also be that you're deceptive, you're dishonest, you're slippery, you're slimy, whatever, right? But what was interesting is when I was leaving pharma and teaching relationship and writing and coaching, I remember having this breakdown where I cried, because I was starting to think about how do I introduce myself? And what does it even mean to be a human connection specialist? If I'd gone with relationship coach or life coach, which those didn't feel resonant for me. because I had such a background in understanding human behavior in the sales perspective and ran consulting programs in there, that it just didn't feel like it labeled me properly. But then I also had the work of understanding, who was I now that I wasn't a pharmaceutical rep? How would people perceive me? And there was so much more vulnerability in what I was doing now than being a rep, because that's a very socially accepted job. Any job in a career, like accountant, finance, whatever it is, right? It doesn't matter. They're socially accepted. And I had found myself building a life that was based on social acceptance. You know, that's what woke me up to wanting to understand relationships. So at the age of 27, when I went through the awakening of trying to figure out like who I was, because I was engaged and I didn't want to be engaged, all of that, I woke up within a story that was mine, but it didn't feel like mine. And granted, I'm the one who made all the choices to get to that place, but it didn't feel, I was like, wow, even though I made them, it doesn't feel like it was an embodied choice. Like I was making them from a conscious place. I've been living my whole life from this unconscious space. And I asked myself, how did I get here? How did I get to this place where I feel so disconnected from myself, yet I've checked all these societal boxes that say I should be happy, but I'm not happy, that say I should be certain, but I'm uncertain. Have you found yourself there before? I'm sure you have. And did you choose to continue to go down the path, which is okay, or did you choose to liberate yourself? And so I found myself finally, you know, as my friend once said to me, he was the first of our friends to get married, and he got divorced. His wife cheated on him, and he got divorced. And he said to me, Mark, you know what? I've been on this train that is get married by a certain age, get a good job, get a blah, blah. And he said, and then my wife cheated on me, our marriage ended, and I found myself standing on the train platform, watching the train go by while people were just on it, automatically, just unconsciously, just going through the day-to-day of life. My God, is it ever easy to just be in the mundane nature of life, right? To just be in the daily everything. And so as I was talking to my friend about this, I said to her, I find myself in a similar prison, except for the prison that I was in before was one that was built for me. Like I woke up in a life and in a job that I was programmed to want. And all of that's okay, but part of deprogramming or awakening is understanding what programs you want to keep and serve you and which ones you don't. And those are the beliefs that serve you or the ones that don't. Which ones keep you stuck and small and in the narrow framework that life has taught you, that society has taught you. And that's a differentiating process. That's a part where you learn discernment. Which do I want to keep? Which do I not? Which is helping me? Which one is hindering me? And so you become an auditor of those things, and then you choose what kind of life you want to live. Because look, like the possibilities that exist in your life are only limited by what other people have taught you about possibilities. Now, granted, like, you know, if you're my height, you're not going to be dunking a basketball, or maybe you will be, but listen, very unlikely. And so like, is the NBA in my future? No. Was it in my past? No. But is becoming a world-renowned expert in the space of human transformation and bridging spirituality with psychology and human behavior, is that possible? Yes, of course it is. You know, I listened to Eric Thomas, who's called the hip hop preacher. And you know, he wanted to be the number one motivational speaker in the world. And of course people were like, you're never, like, how's that even possible? Like you grew up poor, you know, all the different things that are stacked against us. And he became the number one motivational speaker in the world. And when he was talking to, I think it was Bob Proctor and another guy, I can't remember who, they said, you're the number one motivational speaker in the world. And he's like, I'm not even a number yet. They're like, he's like, you know who is the number one motivational speaker? And he said another guy's name. And they were like, don't you even say his name. You're the number one motivational speaker in the world. And so when we actually wake up to what is possible for us, oh my gosh, everybody, come on. Like that dream that you have is only impossible given the framework that you're not even moving towards it. It will never be possible. That relationship that you want, that will never be possible if you don't move towards it. And look, you can help shape your relationship towards that. So you say, my relationship's not giving me what I need. And then you go, well, what would my relationship need from me to be the way I want it to be, to get the things I desire from it? What would I have to give? Who would I have to be? How would I have to show up? And so what was fascinating is I found myself in a similar prison to the one I was in when I was a pharmaceutical rep. And what's different about this one is I built it. I never thought I'd be in the same place again, like feeling stuck career-wise, being stuck in my purpose, being stuck in what's familiar, being stuck in what I know works. But she said to me that your life has already prophesied what you need. Like if you've already leapt and you've already grown and you've already found yourself swimming in people and alignment and possibility and abundance, then you already have the framework to do it. And so I want you to think about that. Like where in your life, in your past, go back as far as you can. Maybe it was speaking up for yourself and you did it when you were four and you saw that. So you know it. You chose yourself. You advocated for yourself. And it can even be a moment that it didn't lead to the possible outcome you desired, but you witnessed yourself do the thing. And then what happened is you didn't get it. And so you made it mean that when you do the thing, you don't get what you desire. But here you are now in pursuit of what you desire. You can feel it. I could feel it. It's hanging on the edge of my soul. And it's like, yo, here's the first step. And I was like, I don't like that step because it requires the death of my identity. Woo, right? So here we go. Think about that. And that was my friend Abby Stumble. And when she said it to me, I was like, damn, that's good. And I'm on a 5-day fast right now, a water fast. I'm on day 3 of that fast. And I've done 24-hour fasts and 48-hour fasts before, but I've never done 5 days. So I'm about 69 hours into the third day. And it's amazing what has come up each day. So dopamine resets after 48 hours. You go into the state of autophagy and then senescent cells start to die off. And what's really fascinating is I'm thinking about like when I did a 5-day phone fast on the retreat in Moab, I became really resensitized to technology. And what's really fascinating is I had this feeling come up when I was looking at my phone and I was like, what is that feeling in my body? And it was that I felt disgusted by social media. And I realized, well, of course, it's a natural response to feel disgusted by something that is exploiting you. And so our job as adults is to be discerning about what ways we relate to technology. Because just blindly, unconsciously scrolling, you enter a trance state and then you're being programmed with stuff. And then you're also being programmed about what's possible and what's not. So you have to think like what you're giving your attention to is going to decide your life. And when you get your screen report every week of your average daily use, I mean, that could be another job. That could be your purpose. You could be using your phone to create that. That's fine. But I really think that we are at this moment where we are descending back to analog, descending back to the earth. And we're realizing that our nervous systems cannot handle this constant high intensity that is these screens that we're consumed by. And I think about how that affects my physiology. Notifications increase cortisol increases glucose. And then, you know, are we contributing to our metabolic health? And, you know, added to that, that there's that term digital dementia. Dementia is taught to be type 3 diabetes. So how's blue light impacting us, etc.? I say all of this because it's like, you can use this moment of time to descend back into yourself, to claim what you desire, to use technology as a tool, to liberate yourself from where you are. And if you find yourself in a prison that either you built or was built for you, but either way you want to break out, it's time to look at your past for the prophecy of what you need today. That you are your own teacher, that you are your own guide, that you are your own Yoda. You already have the template and the skills to walk yourself out of that prison. I'm gonna walk right alongside you. So here's to the continued journey of unbecoming, of really stepping into our deeper purpose. Obviously more to unfold and more to be discussed. But I'm very excited for the transformation you're bringing to your life. And may you send this to anyone you think this episode would really resonate with. And send it with love. And if you got sent this, hop on, Let's go. Much love. Please subscribe to the show so you don't miss any future episodes. And where you can, 5-star review and a written review are very helpful. A way that you could support the show for free. Costs you nothing, and I'm very appreciative of it.